The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Am I on? Yes. It should be a law against having to follow Maria to the stage. Just too much, too much. Good morning, King's Chapel.
Good morning.
My goodness gracious, y'all gonna have to do better than that. We only got a few minutes here. Good morning, King's Chapel.
Good morning.
There are millions of people watching this service right now. And they're hearing a murmur in here. Good morning, King's Chapel.
Good morning.
All right, that's good. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to John chapter 6. It's going to seem like I'm going fast this morning, but I'm not. I would encourage you to write down the verses that you hear along the way, because I'm not trying to give you just a nice little, neat little message this morning. I want to impart some truth that will change your life. Where you're at, Marty. I want to impart some truth that will change your life. Yes, yes. So in light of that, let's give our time to the Lord. We sang it. So now let's live that out as we go before Him. His Spirit is welcome in this place. I do need to put you all on notice, you members of the King's Chapel, or even those who claim King's Chapel as your body of fellowship. I know the leaders pretty well, and we collectively say, not on our watch. Lord God, yep, not on our watch. Let me just say this to you. The only thing that's going to sustain us is the truth of God's word. And as long as He will put us in this place and allow us to proclaim to you His word, then we're not going to shrink back on that. So as the body of believers here at the King's Chapel, prepare your hearts to receive truth, and not only to receive it, but to live it. Because the world is crying out, is screaming for us. And how dare we not take what God has set the table for us here. I mean, we eat well here, don't we? Yeah, we eat well here. And so just want to encourage you that way. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. Did I tell you where? Okay, that's so you don't get ahead of me. I want to talk to you this morning about the reality and responsibility of relationship. Now, this will resonate with probably all of us in this room, that even if you're not married, you're thinking about it, or you either have been married or whatever that status is. And so this relationship that you experience, that we experience earthly, got its origin in Christ. Man didn't think about relationship. As a matter of fact, if you remember Adam in the Garden of Eden, what did God say about him? Not good. He needed someone. Wives, say amen. Okay. Some of you had a little extra oomph with that amen. And so, relationship is what God is all about. And let me say this. If you do not have a grounded relationship in Christ Jesus, every other relationship that you have is jacked up. I know that sounds a little bold, right? Because you can think of some relationships that seem to be going extremely well. But most of the downfall that we experience in life in general come from broken relationships. Many of you all are here this morning because of broken relationships. Oh, now the amen start running out. I'm trying to be, I know we look good on Sunday morning, but let's keep it real. We get broken along the way, and guess what? We never get healed from that, and then we enter into another relationship, all broken and jacked up. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus Christ, this little woman over here would not have been married to me. Yeah, I would have messed up. I would have messed that up. I guarantee it, because I was on my way somewhere going to be a disaster. And so, did I tell you John chapter 6? Okay, so we're going to start there. Let me try to get this out, if I may. How many of you all, if you know the will of God, would do the will of God? Now, don't let me see your hands. Just want you to think about it. How many of you, if you knew the will of God, you'd do the will of God? How many of you, if you knew the will of God, you'd do the will of God? I'll give you a chance to leave the building right now, because I'm fixing to tell you. Let's go to John chapter 6. And just for traction, I want to start in of verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. That's the will of the Father for the Son. Now let's look at the will of God for us. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. So that's where we're going to begin from, but keep your finger here, but head over to Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, and that's where we are going to, I'm going to teach from there this morning. But let me just say this as you're going there. Just so for those of you who are taking notes, and if you're not, you should be, because I know you're not going to remember everything I say. You probably will get the tape, but I hope you will. But if not, how about your notes, something that you can reflect over on lunch. In this text, Jesus says, all that behold him, believe him, will be blessed by him. Behold, believe, be blessed. Behold, believe, be blessed. So we can have a greater understanding of that word, behold. Behold means to see. To see. Not physically see him, but to see Jesus. Remember what he told John over in John 3:3 when he told Nicodemus, verse 3? He says, unless a man is born again, he cannot what? Unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. We can't live with Jesus, for Jesus, and by Jesus if we can't even see Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is Jesus. And so, lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he says, believe. That word believe means to trust. To trust. To trust. Do you know we won't love what we don't trust? We just give lip service to it and say we trust, but we don't love what we don't trust. Oh, and a hush fell over the room. Hush fell over the room. Listen, listen, remember what the Word of God says over in Proverbs chapter 31, 10, 11, somewhere in that neighborhood? Yeah. Talks about finding a wife who's more precious than jewels. Men, have you all read that part? Have you all lived that part? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so he says, the heart of her husband, trust her. Ooh, I don't have time to preach that one. That's a whole scoop of potatoes right there. The heart of her husband. When you have a relationship that the husband's living Jesus in their midst, not perfect, living Jesus in their midst, then he can trust his wife. His wife can trust the Jesus in him. There's some stuff that I know it's just hard for wives to trust. Amen? Listen. But that trust begins with Jesus. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, he says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. How? As unto the Lord. He didn't just say be submissive to your husband. He said be submissive as unto the Lord. And so when the wives are practicing this faith walk of being submissive to Christ, that's the template for how you're to be submissive to us as husbands. Not because we're wonderful. And not because we have it all figured out. That chuckle is just like an amen. I just want you to know that. So, not because we have it all figured out, but because he says, I want you to develop your relationships to me, with me, so that you learn how to trust the Jesus that you see. It's not a carte blanche, just I'm going to trust you just because. Listen, just to give you a little sidebar here, and we'll preach it on another day. Who allowed Judas to take care of the treasure? Jesus didn't trust him. He trusted his Father, because that was the Father's plan. Jesus already knew that Judas's heart was jacked up. Y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. Don't make me preach this because I will. Listen. So trust has to come vertically before it can go horizontally. Yeah, even when we say, husbands and wives, when we say, I trust you, what does that really mean? Do I trust you if everything looks right on my behalf? Or do I trust you because I'm learning to trust the Jesus in you? Okay. Trust. Proverbs 3:5, if you're taking notes, put that down. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord is what he says. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. And I know that doesn't happen with anybody in here. Nobody in here leans on your own understanding. You fully trust. Oh, yeah. So anyway, he says, acknowledge him in most of your ways, and he'll direct your path. Is that what he says? No. So all means just that in the Hebrew and in the English. All means all your ways. All your ways. Okay. And then he says, behold, believe in him, we will have eternal life. That's the blessing part. Now, the blessing part is not materialized into things. Sometimes we get blessings confused with stuff, right? Not you all, but I mean other Christians you might know. Yeah, we get blessings. I hope the Lord will bless me with a job. I hope he will bless me with money. I hope he will bless me with stuff. But the blessings, if you will, as he speaks of it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, he says all of our blessings are in heavenly places. Heavenly places. So we are called to live out our blessing. Some of you all would love to have a lot of money if it were possible. But how much greater would it be if you had peace? Oh, I hope you heard that down in your... I mean, really. You can have all the money in the world. And I know people who have a lot of money who still think they hear the cheers from the stadium floors, who still think that they're playing the game, have more money than they know what to do with, but some of the most unhappiest people in the land. Ah, but the peace of God. Okay. So that's all relational in John 6 and verse 40. So now let's look at what the plan was, and we're going to start with Revelation, the revelation of the plan. Remember, relationships didn't come from man. Relationships came from whom? Okay, so let's look at Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. But this is what I commanded them, saying, and this is God speaking, here's the covenant template. It's eternal. God's word is eternal. So if he said it to Israel, he's speaking it to us as well, the principle of it. Listen, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. Anybody been there and done that? Come on, let's be real now. Come on. Anybody ever been at that place as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and thought you had just implemented a wonderful idea and then it just blew up in your face? I don't mean in here. I'm talking about, do you know some people? So let's look at this. The revelation. God is revealing to us, hey, people, my people, here's how it works. I will be your God. You will be my people. You see how that the equation there? I'm God. You're my people. So the revelation of relationship, if you will, begins with obeying his voice. Now, I'm longing for the time when the body of Christ gets to a place where they can hear God's voice and not necessarily have to run to the scriptures to affirm what they just heard. Y'all ain't hearing me. Listen, the only way you're going to know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in his word so that you get it on your spiritual tape recorder, your spiritual hard drive, and you can bring that word up. Remember, the Holy Spirit is given to us so that he might bring to our remembrance what God has already spoken to us. If we don't put the word of God in us, the Holy Spirit is just doing this. Just hovering. As he was in Genesis chapter 1 when he was hovering over the deep, and the scripture says he was just hovering because he's waiting for something. What was he waiting for? Don't be scared of it. Don't be scared. Come on, answer. Even if it's not right, I'll make it look like it's right. What was the Holy Spirit waiting for? I mean, he's hovering over the deep. God's word. Remember when God said, let there be light? I know this is foreign to you, but that's God's word. Yeah, let there be light. And boom, Holy Spirit came right into action. And then if you fast forward over to John 16, he will say, Jesus says, here's why the Holy Spirit, and here's what he will do. He will make known unto you, he will disclose to you what is mine. What belongs to me and the Father, he will disclose it to you and make it known to you. That's John 16, right around 11, 12, somewhere in that neighborhood. Listen, let me just give you this little side note. Read and study on your own time. We're not doing Bible study here on Sunday morning. This is worship time. This is where everybody brings the potluck of what God has been feeding your spirit all day long, and then we come together in, as one, and we worship the King. So that everything that he's been speaking to us, and I know it's been rough, don't get me wrong, I understand it's been rough, but when we get here, we should be spiritually open to God's Word and his Holy Spirit. Put all that other stuff on the shelf. What's he been feeding you Monday through Saturday? Okay, so he says, obey my voice. I will be your God. Now, he already told us so that this will help us obey him, just so you can stop looking. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, he says, just write it down. You can go read it later on. He says, I'm it. I'm paraphrasing. There is no other God. How many of you will look for other gods from time to time? Now, you don't label it like that. Somebody say amen, because y'all know what I'm talking about. We don't label that I was looking for another God. But we live like we were looking for another God. Even in the midst of God said, even in the midst of knowing what God said, we do something completely different. Okay, let me keep rolling here. So there's the revelation. The revelation is God says, I'm it. And then the revelation says, I want relationship. And I want relationship this way. And I want you to have relationship this way and this way. Why? So that the world may know that I am God. God could care less whether we're happy or not. If you're living just to be happy, stop. Live to be obedient to God. And I, this pastor, can guarantee happiness. Can guarantee it. Can guarantee it. In the Greek, spiritually speaking, happiness just means blessed. It means blessed or blessing. Okay. So. In revelation of relationship, there's the role. That's us. That's what we do. Remember the part that says, you will be my people. You will be my people. Now, this is not a broad brush that just anybody that just mouths, I'm your child, or I accepted Jesus and said a few words and prayed a little prayer. I'm not dismissing that. What I'm saying is the proof is in the pudding. If you got him, you got him. And you'll never, ever lose him. Better yet, he'll never ever lose you. As Mark says, Pastor Mark says, we do wander. We're prone to wander. How many of you have wandered in the last 24 hours? I was going to say months, but my goodness. Yeah, come on. And you didn't even have to put feet to it. We wander how? Yeah, we do. That's an amen if I was preaching, but we wander here. Okay, here we go. He says, you will be my people. If you're writing down notes, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, here's what he says. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Let me ask you this. Are you a possession of God, or are you possessed by God? There's a difference. There's a difference. Are you possessed by God? Or you're just a possession of God. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, we are his people. We are a holy nation. There's a manifestation of that role. And with that role, listen, comes reverence. There's the reverence of the relationship. Anybody getting this little run on ours? Somebody's figured that out because y'all look like a pretty good, astute crowd. You do. So there are a lot of ours in this morning's sermon. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember it. Okay, I even threw you a little curve because most pastors will give you three. I'm giving you four. Okay, so here we go. There's the role of the relationship, and then there's the reverence in the relationship. And without reverence, there is no relationship. Well, what do you mean by reverence, Pastor? That word reverence is just, it means fear. Not fear as the world provides fear, but it's a fear that is an awe-ness of God. We're awed by God because we see a righteousness and a holiness in our presence. And so we are awed by it. You know, we use that word right now in today's social media arena, that word awesome. Anybody heard that in the last couple of days or whatever? I mean, we use it all the time about anything. Sometimes when you hear people serving you at the restaurant or whatever it is, and you give them your order, and then you know what they say? That's awesome. There's another word they use too, which I chuckle too. They said perfect. Be careful how we use that word. Perfect is it. There's nowhere else to go. And let them bring you the wrong plate. Okay, so there's the reverence. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, that's a whole story. You need to go into that and really read that, because that's a season of being of a prophetic word from God, because Israel is jacked up. They're not obeying God. How many of us know when we're not obeying God? Okay, three people? Okay, so let me just preach to you three. Okay, so God is telling Jeremiah, we need to repent. Tell my people to repent. Repentance is what is needed. That's what we need today as well. But listen to this. He says, your own wickedness will correct you. God doesn't have to do anything new when we go off the track. He knows how to touch us using our own jacked upness. I think I'm going to patent that word. But you are a chosen, I'm sorry, he says, your own wickedness will correct you and your apostasies will reprove you. That falling away, that's what apostasies are, is when we fall away from truth and we start doing our own thing. He says, they will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. And the dread of me or the fear of me, the reverence for me is not in you. One of the greatest things we're challenged with this day and time is that there is no fear of God, absolutely no fear of God in the land. None whatsoever. But he always has a remnant. And it's my prayer that we don't just have a patch of people here that are part of the remnant. My prayer is that all of King's Chapel will be the remnant of the Most High God. Because see, for the remnant, there's always, you can take this one home, just give me props for having said it, there's always rhema for the remnant. Yeah, there's always rhema. Remnant don't have to worry about it. They're going to get fed, they're going to get led, and they're going to get blessed. You know why? Because a remnant is automatically programmed by the Holy Spirit to intimately love and obey God. That's what the remnant does. So he keeps feeding them. You know why? Because he knows that they're going to do what he says. Write this one down, because it's not my notes. John 14, 21 and 23. How do we determine our love for God? Those who have the word of God and obey the word of God, those are the ones who love me. Don't tell me you love God and you're not obeying his word. Well, you don't know what it's like to have to submit to that husband of mine. I know what it's like if you don't submit to Christ. Ooh, and a hush came over the room. Now, let's don't get this messed up here, just so that we will take the husbands and the wives off the hook. In Ephesians chapter 5, 21, he tells us to be submissive unto one another. So the emphasis is not the object of the submission. The issue here is practicing submission. We need to practice submission. And there's no practice of submission in the land. Esteem others needs higher than your own. The world doesn't get that. The body of Christ is supposed to get that, but we're not even practicing it in the body of Christ. Somebody say amen, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So he says, Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before the eyes. Where should they see the fear of God? It should be expressed by his people. We should fall to our knees as we are worshiping and serving God on a daily basis. People around us should recognize a fragrance about us. I mean, a good fragrance about it, a Jesus fragrance, let me put it like that. Because sometimes our attitudes can precede our testimonies. Yay? In our own homes. Y'all thought I was talking about in the community. No, in our own homes. We don't testify too well at home when our attitudes are not right. How many of you know your attitudes are jacked up sometimes when you're dealing with your spouse, children, or whatever? Seven people? Okay, we got a lot of work to do here at King's Chapel. So, attitude. And you know what? According to the word of God, Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, have this attitude in you as it was in Christ. Your attitude, you need to toss that. That ain't doing nothing but causing problems. That same attitude. And it's so entrenched in you. It is such a part of you that people think that's normal you. But Jesus can scrub that up, I promise you. John 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from most unrighteousness. Oh, well, did he say all? Guess what he meant. But Jesus, this is too big for you to handle. Well, according to his word, he says, there is nothing impossible for me. With man, it's impossible. How many of you all are holding stuff back from God to answer and address because you don't think he can handle it? Has anybody seen the sun and the moon lately? In case you... Okay. Let's keep rolling. Listen, there's the reverence of the relationship. The reverence sends off a fragrance, and it pleases God. It pleases God. Don't worry about your husband and wife and children and all of that. Let your fragrance please God. If it pleases God, it'll please everything in your sphere, everything in your realm. I promise you that. You ever been around people who smell like Jesus? And some of you are saying, well, what does that smell like? No, you got to get around Jesus. You got to be around him to understand the smell and know where the fragrance comes from. I'm almost done here. Then there is the result of relationship. My wife prayed it this morning, you know, as he said in his Isaiah chapter 55. He says, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that for which I sent it. 55:11. Write it down. Write it down. Yeah, my word. So the results are guaranteed. We'll find the results in verse 24. Are you there? Well, we'll find it in 23 and 24. He says, if you obey my word, then it will be well with you. Okay, that's one example, or that's one direction the relationship can go. If you obey my word, it will be well with you. We would be a people that glorify God. It's a lot in that word, glorifying God. It's a whole lifestyle and relationship, excuse me, in glorifying God. But he says that it may be well with you. It's a summary of the tempo that we have with God. Excuse me. And so, here's the other side. And it's only two lanes. You can only go in two lanes. Because there are only two kind of people in this room right now. The saved and the unsaved. And hopefully by the end of the service, we'll have the whole room saved up if you're not, because you'll have an opportunity, as well as those on online. But there are two kind of people in this room right now. Those who is not going well with, who don't know him, don't know that he's called us to glorify him, and then those who know him. It will be well with you. Here's what happens to the other group. Verse 24. Yet they did not obey or discipline or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backwards and not forward. That's the other group. How many of you have ever heard of the Equality Act? Not a political statement here. But I just want us to understand, as light and salt, we need to at least know what's in the culture. It's enough in the culture. You don't even have to get hung up on that. But let me just say this. The same minds that are causing the problem can't be the same minds that solve it. Oh, my Lord God. The whole room ought to have emptied out an amen right there. Good Lord. But let me tell you something. We have light. We are light and salt. So that those minds can know that God exists. But we ain't living him. And when I say living him, I'm not talking about, Lord, the worst thing you could see is a Christian trying to live like a Christian. That's the worst thing you could experience. Because most of that's going to fall right into the bucket of hypocrisy and religion. Well, what are you saying, Pastor Milton? When you truly belong to Jesus, he lives through you. And then we live it out. How many of you all pay attention to your GPS? Y'all scared to answer that question? Yeah, probably everybody has got one to listen to it. Of course I do. How many of you have you had GPSs that takes you to the wrong place? Okay. Hint, man-made. Okay, just so you get it. Just so you get it. Now, we have the Holy Spirit who will always take us where God wants us to go. Never miss. The problem is when your own fleshly GPS wants to go somewhere different. And that's when he says, now he never stops speaking, but he says, okay, you go with that. And men, you know, before the days of GPSs, and I guess I'm dating myself a little bit, we had another one that was somewhat human to us that used to occupy the co-pilot seat, who were our human GPSs. Anybody got one of those? You know, when you pass by the turn, they say that you should have turned there. Nobody got one of those. I'm telling you right now, especially when you asked 20 miles ago, baby, where's this turn? Which you had time to prepare to turn. But it is not until you go past it. Anyway. Listen, let me read this to you, and I'm gonna close in prayer. I want us to settle on the words of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. It's sobering. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. That's a reiteration of what He's already told us. Verse 40. So you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I'm giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. So it's a generational piece. And that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all times. Let that word rest in your mouth, in your heart, so that it gets to a point that it oozes out of your mouth. As the praise team is coming, I want us to have a time of prayer. Embedded in our prayer will be a time of repentance. Excuse me. And then there will be a time to manifest your commitment to that repentance. There a time of refreshing. As Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, a time of refreshing and restoration can come to us. How many of you all would like to be refreshed in Christ? Refreshed. Yeah. Well, there's the one-time repentance when we come to Christ, and then we live out that repentance daily, whereby we've gotten dirty. We've gotten dirty in our walk, and we need to be cleansed and be refreshed and be restored. Stand to your feet, if you will. Let's pray. This is your moment in time before God. Father God, we do thank you. And we give you praise, Holy Spirit, for being in our midst this morning. And as you are hovering over each heart, either those that belong to the Lord and those that do not, pray that you have your way in their lives in this moment. And Father, as we, your people, stand before you, you know our spiritual condition. You know what's behind our smile. You know what's behind our fear. You know what's behind our pain. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would release yourself, flood us with your deliverance. If you're here this morning and you say, Father, I have fallen off the road a bit. I've gotten derailed. I've allowed the circumstances of the culture, the consequences of my choices, those things that have taken my eyes off of you. If that's you here this morning, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. And even online, I want to just pray with you. Father, you see those hands that are before you, those that are completely confessing before you right now, Lord, that they have gone astray. And so, Father, I pray that as your word says, it would not return unto you void. Thank you that you meet them where they are in this moment, right now. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Milton, I've never known this Jesus that you're talking about, but all of what you said for relationship applies to me. I want to know the God of relationship. You online and you even in this room right now, if that's you and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know that he died, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that you might be restored back to him and that God raised him from the dead. I want you to raise your hand in this sanctuary right now. I want to pray with you. And online, I want to pray with you. Father, you see the hands that are before you right now. You know those who do not belong to you. And Lord God, as they profess that they desire to know you, even in this moment, I pray that you would visit them right this second. Father, that as they make this confession and receive Jesus Christ as their eternal life, that you'll seal it. And as they walk out of this door, if they were not your child, they'll be your child upon their next breath. And Father, we thank you that you will make known yourself to them in a way that would cause them to testify that today, I heard his voice and I accepted the free gift of eternal life. If that's you in this place, I want you to let us know. Let somebody know that you online. Let somebody know, because that's the fallout from encountering Christ in the moment. People of old told somebody. So, Father, we commit this time to you now. As we leave this place, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.